Before we get started here in the Fly Racing Racer X Daytona Supercross Review Pod, thank you to the folks at Racetech. Racetech Privateer Proven. Check them out. They've been in business since the early 80s. The gold valve is amazing. They'll make your suspension work better. They'll change the oil, seals, bushings, all that kind of stuff. If it's early spring where you are, service your suspension with the folks at Racetech and get your bike working better. Tell them you listen to Pulp, but you get a discount. Even better. Racetech.com. All right, on to the show.
A Pulp MX Network production.
Welcome to the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, and Motorsport.com on RacerXOnline.com. With your continuing gracious support of our sponsors, we're thriving at over 1,800 podcasts delivered with over 20 million downloads. Click the Amazon banner on Pulp MX to help us out. Donate via Patreon if it suits you. And as always, enrich your moto lifestyle by working with the sponsors who support us. The original Moto Podcast, featuring legends of the past, stars of today, season previews, race reviews, introspection, opinion, facts, and laughs. Here's the voice bringing it all to you, Steve Mathis.
Say that dedication to your frustration.
Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Fly Racing Racer X Podcast Daytona Review. Kenny Roczen finally gets it done. Super cool to see. And lots to talk about when it comes to Daytona Supercross. And also lots to talk about when it comes to Fly Racing. Kinetic Mesh is out. They've brought it back. I think it took it like a year off, but it's back. And it's got the BOA closure system on it. And available in different colors as well. Lightest, breathable, ventiest. I don't think that's a word, but it is. All of that. FlyRacing.com. Formula helmets as well. Match it up with that. Use the code PULPMX when you check out. And get yourself some Kinetic Mesh or a Formula helmet. Or whatever it is that you like from Fly Racing, and use the code PULPMX to save. Cooper Webb, Fly Racing, and RJ Hampshire winning in the Kinetic Mesh this weekend in Daytona for his first time victory at the Speedway. So thanks to the folks at Fly Racing for all that they do. Maxxis Tires as well. Fast Freddy Norin was back this weekend, and although he had to go to the LCQ, he put his Maxxis Tires into the main event, and great mountain bike tires as well. Jeremy McGrath designed the motocross tires, so please check those out when you can. And of course, thanks to the folks at Renthal, Renthal.com, Ken Roczen, Renthal Bars, Renthal Sprockets, also factory Red Bull KTM, Monster G Kawasaki, Honda guys as well with Renthal. So please check those guys out. Lock-on Grip is out and selling very, very well right now. And it's the only lock-on grip that doesn't need any modifications to fit on any handlebars out there. So all of the usual patterns and shapes for the Renthal grips in the lock-on now available. So thank you to those guys. We'll tell you more about motorsport.com later on in the show. But let's get going on the Fly Racing Racer X podcast. First up, in studio here from Fly Racing and the TV broadcast as well, it's Jason Thomas. What's up, JT?
Not too much. It's been a day. Flown around a lot today. But I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to be on the show tomorrow. And I'm excited to talk to Daytona with someone who was actually there.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
No
awesome.
Problem.
Yep. I got back today, was in Daytona, boots on the ground, as they say. But the third part of this review pod, a gentleman who just chose to not go, I guess. He was scant 4 or 5 hours away, but yeah, decided not to go. It's Jason Wygant. What's up, Weege?
Yeah.
Listen.
It's further than 4 or 5 hours. It is. It's probably
it's about eight or nine.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
I'm just keeping it. I'm
really
keeping the facts involved.
Yes,
when
I do appreciate that.
When have facts ever mattered to me?
Somebody has to keep this on the rails.
So there were a lot of where's Weege, and Kevin Kelly was asking me. People on Trackwalk were asking me, and I had somebody, and I don't know who it was. I meant to write it down or think about it today, but they were like, where's Weege? And I'm like, yeah, he's just not here. And they're like, he's not in the booth? I'm like, yeah, he's not here. And they're like, well, where is he? And I'm like, he's at home. But what's he got going on? And I'm like, yeah, nothing. And they were shocked. Shocked.
Yes.
Like there was no, there was no operation, baseball tournament, citizenship stuff. There was nothing going on that you couldn't make it to Daytona. You just chose not to go. And this person was absolutely floored.
No, it's funny, though. I didn't go to San Diego or Tampa also. It just shows how different Daytona is. I didn't go to San Diego and Tampa, and I don't think anyone noticed. I also don't have Birmingham on my list. I don't know if anyone in Birmingham is going to be saying, where's Weege? But Daytona is different. It's the first bike week I've missed, and I know for you guys this is a laughable number, but it's the first one I've missed since 2001. It was the last time I wasn't there.
Oh, no. That's
24 years.
That's pretty solid.
That's a good run. That's longer than me. Yeah.
Listen to JT, though.
Yeah.
JT's first since he – mom was 2021. JT hasn't missed one since he was one.
Well, you know, it's funny. I couldn't go for a long time because the insurance rules, I wasn't allowed down on the speedway until you were 16. And my mom was working, so I would have to stay home until
– oh, my.
Yeah, like a few years I went and stayed with friends that watched, but like to go with my parents, I legally couldn't go.
Like into the infield, you
mean? Yeah.
Like just
you had to be 16.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. So,
oh, my gosh.
Yeah, but to your point, yes, I've been going there for a very long time.
Yeah. Since you were 16?
I went before that a few times.
Yeah, but
it's not like
but every year?
Like a Gatorback, I never, ever missed a Gatorback ever. Oh,
but
or
are we on a
like
streak
that.
Of like Daytona since you were 16?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, every single
probably
year.
Before
yeah.
then.
But, I mean,
know.
I don't know. Maybe you got hurt one year and didn't go. I don't know. You know
oh,
what I mean?
Never, ever, ever missed Daytona by my own accord, no.
Right.
I, like, was forced to stay home by my parents the only time I never
right.
went.
Right, okay, yeah. Oh, I didn't go.
Anyway, there are four weekends where I'm not on the schedule. I don't have to work. I could show up and hang out, which I would love to do. I could have been the live announcer. I could have taken my old live announce job at Daytona back, but I get 4 weekends. And those 4 weekends go a long way. So instead, we had a basketball doubleheader at home and a probably 20 hours sunk into this fourth grade math fair project. And let me tell you, nothing screams reality check like doing a fourth grader's math project instead of being at bike week for the weekend. There is no greater contrast in life than that.
If you weren't working, which you weren't on the schedule for this one, I think – you probably could have got into Frank's suite and really lived it up.
Yeah, but I would have been working because I'm not turning money down.
Okay, like,
I turn money down to stay home, but I'm definitely not going on the road and turning down pay while I'm there.
Right.
Wes Kane, good old Wes Kane. I bequeathed him the gig last year because I was in the TV booth, and we had a guy. Like I'm sure he masters that part. He's great at that, so I'm sure they were fine without me.
It's pretty shocking. There were really a lot of people wondering where you were, and that this one person on track walk just couldn't.
Dude.
They were like, well, where is he? And I'm like, he's just at home. That's it. He's just at home.
Yeah. You did Weed Show, and Chase Sexton asked it over and over. He's like, what do you mean?
Yeah, see?
Weed isn't here.
That was another example. Exactly.
Yeah.
He ranked you fourth on the announcers.
He did not. He said. I think he's pretty good, actually. You were trying. JT, I know this will shock you. Steve was trying to convince Chase to downgrade me as much as possible.
I was.
And Chase really wasn't having it. He's like, nah, he's pretty good, man.
Yeah. Well,
this was with Sexton?
Yeah.
And I hurt bad, like bad. Like, I was, I think, starting to get sick on Friday. Like, just feeling bad not being there.
Well,
Saturday, the moment had passed. Yeah.
But also, what about this RC amateur race? I mean, you are needed for that as well. There's a GNCC.
There are quads on Sunday at GNCC.
Yeah, I mean, these are your people.
Well, that's part of the problem, too, because if I go to Daytona, it ends up being a 5-day working week. This is not – everybody else is like, we'll see you Sunday morning at the airport and we're out. And I'm like, nah, I'm into Wednesday, bro.
Yeah,
so
I did that once. It is a whale of a few days.
So yeah, exactly. So that is the thing I have to weigh as well. This is not flying in and out real quick, but I haven't really said anything to anybody. So we're just going to go with forgiveness over permission. And I can't guarantee that as you folks are listening to this podcast, maybe on Monday morning, that my phone is not blowing up with "Why aren't you here?" I cannot guarantee that.
Plus 40B is on the line. Where are you, Weege, to announce this?
Yeah. Yep. Look, nobody knows how to play the Racer Productions MX Sports schedule game better than me. And I'm just going to – I know what I know, and I'm going to count on
I mean, you literally moved out of town to play to up this, up your level in this game.
Yeah. Well, I put it this way. We don't have meetings or schedules or anything ever. So you can make that be the worst thing or the best thing. And I'm going to hope it works out for the best.
Yeah. Okay. All right. No, I was going to bring something up.
There we go. We're good. I didn't go, and yeah. It hurt, and it sucked. And honestly, not just the race. I mean, once you know, Steve, you know, you can watch the race at home. With watching the night show at home, you miss some stuff, but that's not really what you miss. What you miss is the whole weekend talking to people, hanging out. So that's why Friday actually was worse than Saturday, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, listen, man. I didn't go to Daytona for many years, and, you know, just for different reasons.
You still knew who won the race,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
But what you miss is the 24 hours of – I mean, Daytona is just different. It's just different, and you mark your calendar by it. We all know, like, you're going to be in California in January and Daytona in March, and for me, Loretta's in August, and those are 3 mile markers, and I cannot believe I just didn't do one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 2001, the end of an era. Shocking, but – We'll get over it, I guess, and we just got to rebuild.
It was a long way with the kid.
Yeah. Okay.
Way.
All right. Listen, cool race. Webb did a 120 to Kenny's 122, and then a 119 to Kenny's 121. And our group text, Weege, with some Cooper Webb fans was heating up. Yeah. There were people looking forward to him doing exactly what he did in Detroit. And if I had to bet at that moment, Kenny did get held up by Starling a little bit. So it wasn't all, it wasn't all Kenny's mistakes. But if I had bet at that point, I'd been like, here we go again. But, dude, Webb stalled it. Webb screwed up a corner. And Kenny Roczen did it. Really, really awesome to see that. Roczen wins Daytona. He was so stoked. The team was unbelievably happy after the race. And he got it done. And I'll start with you, JT. Just, his line in the sand, right to left. He passed Coop in the main. So, you can't even go with, Coop got a bad start. He
yep.
fully passed Coop. He had that line in the sand, triple on, double off, full marks to Ken Roczen here.
Yeah, and it's funny. Webb was doing that in the afternoon. Wasn't like a revelation type line where, oh my gosh, he pulled it out.
Chase was doing it too. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. This line was well known. Kenny was just making it work really well.
Yep.
And it was just that kind of track where lines would come and go. As the track was deteriorating, some lines were
slowing
down.
Classic Daytona, right?
100%. Yeah. And so to me, both things can be true. Kenny was amazing. He did exactly what he's supposed to do, pass everybody, got to the lead, managed the lead. And then I think it's also fair to say, Coop had his chance, and Coop made critical mistakes.
Yeah.
Both of those can be true. And, it's just one of those times where I think Kenny, if you, gave him truth serum in that moment, you stop the race, he's going to be like, oh, no. Here it comes again. And to his credit, you could even say, Coop was on his way to doing it again, but it didn't go that way this time.
Yeah.
And so a lot of credit goes to Kenny for the way he rode, and I think Coop is probably kicking himself for, making a mistake at the most critical part of the race.
Weege?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a very small sample size, but I feel like for whatever reason, the last three weekends, the tracks have been pretty raceable. Detroit, there were a lot of spots where guys were side by side and setting each other up in corners. I thought last week was pretty good. In Arlington, it had different spots, and this was a more raceable Daytona, and I don't know if that's just luck. I mean, as I said over and over, everybody wants rhythms that no one can do every lap. I don't know how you perfectly engineer that, but it had it, especially when I went back and watched it again this morning. JT, you did an excellent report on the post-race show on the area where Webb messed up those ruts. But I didn't realize he messed it up at the beginning of the main. Then he switched to try to go outside and double in. Then he tried to go back to the inside and single in. And then, yeah, Kenny, that line that you guys were talking about, it was pretty cool. And, I mean, dude, Steve, I don't know if you noticed this, but there's been some garbage Daytona tracks.
Never noticed.
This one really had.
I told RC that on Friday. I said last year and this year's track look really good.
I really would like for them to do two things, though, for Daytona to make it better. Mm-hmm. It was good. I agree. Yeah. The track was raceable. Passing, we saw the switch or option lanes worked. It was great. If we could get more lights and we could get dirt that wasn't as black as night.
Mm-hmm.
That would make for better, I think, for everybody. It would be safer. I heard it a million times on Saturday again about I couldn't see things. I couldn't see lines.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the 100% reason why Kitchen crashed, but stuff like that happens because you can't see how deep things are. And it's just one of the, like, the heat race crash, the track was a little bit different. You can't really see it as well. It's just darker. It's dark. Mm-hmm. That rhythm section, the dirt is pure black. And they can't see if it's taller or shorter, especially on the first lap when the track's been, you know, reworked. But you guys are right. This was a great Daytona track. But I if we could fix those two things, I think it could be top tier. Like, it's never going to be Anaheim. But it could be I think it could be a great, unique thing. I just think there's a couple things in there where if you really ask guys, they would be like, yeah, there's a couple things that are still, like, make me hesitant about Daytona.
Ricky said 15 less jumps. I didn't see that.
I only heard that from you.
Yeah.
But
I mean, still seem busy. Well, fine. Not overly jumpy, but I didn't see where he got rid of 15.
There are a lot of rhythm sections.
15 jumps, but.
What? That doesn't seem possible.
I don't know, man. That's what the GOAT told me.
Yeah.
Then he told me I was doing a great job with the podcast, so. You know.
Oh, yes, please. What did he say?
He said I was doing a great job with the podcast. He can't believe what I've built. And, yeah, really, the GOAT.
The jumps, it really came down to, I don't know, it was almost like those jumps were just like, hey, here's a couple of five-footers. You guys figure it out.
Yeah.
Or something. I don't know what made it good.
Well,
but it was like.
Oh, this track? I thought you meant in the past where it's been like high, low, and.
No, he just meant this one. Like, yeah.
Yeah,
no. More that was too random,
right?
Like way too random in the past. This was almost like, here's some 5-footers or a 3-footer, whatever. All these jumps are the same size, and you figure you want to go 3-2, you want to go 2-3, you want to roll 2-3, like
you're
figure
right.
It out.
You're right about
figure
that. Yeah, there that made for options is what you're saying anyway.
And trust me, I had some guys in Pulp Mex Fantasy that didn't make the main. And when you go further back in the field, the guys 5 to 10, 10 to 15, like, they would lose 3 to 4 seconds by screwing up one of those rhythm lanes. So we saw lots of variance, right? We saw lots of passes, because if you can't get over that the tunnel jump, you can't get over that. If you couldn't get over the other one by the mechanics area quite right on a 450, you would lose time and – you would muck up a rhythm. And the track turned out pretty good. And like you said, we've had some really shitty tracks, and the last couple of years have been pretty good racing. But yeah, Kenny, and also, like, I thought underrated was Kenny before the sand going right to left and carrying a little bit more speed and not having to check. Because it kind of, if you were on the left coming into the sand, you stayed on the left. And if you stayed on the right, you stayed on the right. Kenny was like right over the little bump, over the little hill, and then carrying speed and almost looking like he was getting over that first giant breaking sand bump, and then carrying more speed there too, and then that would lead him into the triple on. And I thought that whole section was amazing.
I really like the long all the way down the back straight, mm-hmm. where the finish was.
Yeah,
it let people get next to each other.
Yeah,
which is, there was a lot of passing, but I think you need areas like that. For one, the crowd loves it, right?
Yeah.
Like high speed stuff coming along there, and then the wall jumps to slow them down and stuff. But you could hear people going nuts as they were coming past there every time. And
I had a few complaints about that, though.
What, like too fast?
Too fast.
Well, I think after the finish, where Kitchen crashed, that was too fast.
Yeah.
But the other stuff was slowing them down. That got a little wonky, I think.
And thank God we had Hardy there to jump the wall, show us all.
But that wasn't even like – that was super cool. But like once they started doing it,
it
wasn't a big deal.
Well, night show was easier. They made it easier than night show. But Chase was Chase did it on his fast lap in qualifying,
mm-hmm.
And then that was when he shot to the top, right?
Yep.
So,
yep.
Good job for Suzuki. They hadn't won there since 2009, which was, what, Dunge?
Yes.
Chad?
Chad
won on a Suzuki?
Chad passed J-Law with like 3 laps to go in 2009.
Oh, that was a year? Okay. Yeah. So J-Law should have been penalized, by the way. I stand by that.
Oh, for sure. He cut like 30 yards off the track.
I know. And just everybody talks about this great J-Law ride.
He did ride well.
But, dude, he just hung
a
left.
Oh, I know. I was sitting there. I crashed in the 250 main in the first turn.
Right.
And then was standing out there. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
J-Law's 10 seconds out front.
Yeah.
Three quarters in.
Suzuki's win. Now is good. Good. Yeah. Again, and what a season we've had. We've had a nice season. I said this to somebody. I don't remember who, but I'm like, look, considering, I think it was Brooks, considering we lost Jed and Eli, two of the biggest stars early, this has been a really good season.
Yeah, and I was talking to somebody about this same thing, and you know, he's just like, man, I wish that we had kept those guys. I'm like, yes, but if you really look over the course of history, having like two or three guys that can win is pretty normal.
Yeah.
Like that's the norm. Expecting to have six or seven healthy guys that can all win on any given weekend and battle for a championship all together, that's great. If we could have kept, awesome. But yeah, that's so yeah, hard to do, and you're just rarely ever going to get that, if ever. So this feels more, you have a few guys that can win, you have a championship battle. Like, if you look back over the course of history, that's really good, because sometimes you have a guy that has a 30-point lead by the time we get to Daytona. So I think we have to be careful of thinking that, you know, like, perfect can be the enemy of good in a situation like this. We have a great championship going on.
Yeah. Weege, did you listen to my post-race stuff?
Actually did not this
okay.
week. I usually do. Yeah,
I talked to Brooks, and he just it was all the typical stuff, and then Brooks just started talking about lappers in Tampa. He was getting mad.
Oh, wow.
He was getting mad.
Oh.
And I'm like, hey, man, let's end this on a positive note. I said, and I brought it back to winning Daytona. But he was like, we'd be in the lead. The AMA. He started yelling for the AMA.
I'll give Brooks this. I mean, I remember him being pissed at lappers, I don't know, name a year. 08, 06,
yeah,
2010.
Yeah, right.
Like, this is not new.
Yeah.
It's not just recency bias. Yeah. This year it screwed us. Like, yeah, he has always hated this.
Yeah,
he used to scream at me,
yeah,
when he was working for
yeah,
the grass team.
Yeah.
He would be out in the middle of the track. And I told him one time, I'm like, if you do that again, I'm going to run you over. Like, straight up, I'm just going to run you over. Because I'm in, like, 10th.
Oh, yeah.
And you are standing in my way.
Yeah.
And he was yelling at me back. I'm like, I don't care, dude. Like, I took it for a long time because I had so much respect for him. But I was literally, he was standing in my line.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that is not acceptable.
You should have heard his language.
So this is 25 years ago.
Should have heard his language on the radio when I worked for him.
Oh, I'm
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
And I know he's passionate.
But yeah, exactly. He's passionate. Yeah.
But like, you can't stand in my line in the middle of the track.
No.
Yeah. So the interview, the post-race interview, because I have no idea if he's right, but he's like, we'd be in the lead right now.
They would.
I don't know what he was giving.
No, he would.
But I don't know what he was giving Kenny for Tampa.
He would have got third.
Oh, was he giving him a third? Okay.
Yeah, which
he
would have gotten third.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So anyway, so Brooks is going.
But getting mad about ifs and buts.
I know. I'm like, dude, you just won Daytona. Let's bring this around to a positive before you blow a blood vessel, Larry. Good job for that. I had to do moonshine again for the HEP guys. I've been caught into this a couple times. It's actually not bad. I've had moonshine in the 90s, and it was like drinking methanol. And the moonshine they have there to celebrate podiums is not bad. I suggest people try it. I don't know. So good job.
Come a long way. Wow.
Good job, Ken Roczen, on that. That's awesome. I think everybody was happy except for probably Cooper Webb and Yamaha guys. But Webb rode well.
Webb was pissed.
Webb was pissed, I'm sure. He rode well. Yeah, what are you going to do? He made a mistake. He made two mistakes.
Yeah, I mean, he was mad. It's, you know, I am very fortunate because I get to see these guys, their raw emotion. And he was the same as he was at Tampa. He was mad at lappers at Tampa, but he was mad at himself for this one.
Yep.
But the mood's the same.
AP third. AP, where'd this come from? Dude. Yeah.
Yeah. Led a little bit.
Yep. Did it for Dale.
Yep.
And Dale Jr. tweeted, I guess.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Well, people are tagging him and stuff and whatever.
Oh, okay.
And then, yeah. So, like.
But it's Dale Jr.'s tweet was like, what is this? But, like, yeah. Dale, it's Supercross. You know what Supercross is, don't you?
Well, I think he was trying.
You would think it's someone on his radar.
Well, yeah, I think he was trying to figure out why. I don't think he knew that AP was so about.
It's a Supercross rider who really likes your dad.
Well, I don't think he knew that. So he's trying to make the connection.
Can't you put that together pretty easily?
Oh, I don't think he was like,
I don't know,
truly lost.
It seemed like he was. Okay, yeah. Anyways, good job for AP. That's really good for him.
I'm sure it's not the first person that's been a big Dale Earnhardt fan
that
he's run into.
I think that's AP's first top five of the year.
Yes,
so,
for sure it is.
Yeah, so good job, Aaron Plessinger. And that was a battle, too, but with Chase, with AP, and with Justin Cooper. Chase Sexton.
We have a lot to talk about here. I don't know what to talk about.
I don't know, man.
But we have a lot to talk about.
I don't know, man.
I don't know, man.
Okay, qualifying, phenomenal. Unbelievable qualifying. Just check me out. I'm Chase Sexton.
I mean, that's like every time I ever watch.
I know, but just in Daytona, it was like just more special somehow because you
especially
could just,
the first qualifying session.
Yeah, you
that
can just,
118. You
can
put in
free flow, and you can jump stuff, and you can just he just whipped his balls out and showed everybody, and was like amazing. And then grabs the whole shot in the heat, and you're like, okay, well, heat one winner, or heat two winner, sorry, Chase Sexton, here we go. And then he does that.
He finished 19 seconds off the lead.
I did some digging.
Well, obviously beat up.
I did some digging
but
today.
You think that he was able to catch the leaders, and then all of a sudden he's like, nope, my body's done.
I thought he was
going to
win at one point.
100%.
I thought he was going to win
too.
At one point.
Of course. Everybody
no,
did.
JT, I talked to somebody who's deep.
Yeah, I believe
and they it. Said they think the heat race crash caught up to him. Nothing wrong with the bike. Nothing. They just think the heat race crash caught
I mean,
up to
like
him.
But like them saying they think.
Yeah. This person's deep.
Okay.
They're deep. So.
What else could it be?
I thought they've been battling a shock issue. They've got some vents mm-hmm. on their bike. They've been battling a shock. So that was kind of my thought. Hey, bike, clutch, shock. You know, like something?
All I know is there's a lot going on with him. He crashed last weekend. He crashes in the heat. He jumps off the track in the LCQ. He has this unexplained meltdown in the main in the last few laps. Like, I don't know what's happening. Let's start there. But it feels like there's some things going on mentally here. In my opinion, there is a possibility that he's inside his own head pretty bad about now. Now, I'm not saying that heat race crash was brutal. I'm not saying that person is wrong. They're probably right.
But the part that I don't get, though, is, okay, so weirdo Eli Tomac rides happened right away within five laps. And you're like, oh, shit, it's one of those nights, right?
Yep. No, the rear end of the bike too low.
Yeah, rear end's too low. That's it. That's it. And this didn't happen until there was 5 minutes left.
So my thesis.
So how could you be mentally shocked? Like,
right. My thesis is he got to them mm-hmm. and he's like, I'm going to win the race. He's thinking that, right? Yeah. And I thought the same thing. Yeah. You did too. He makes a mistake. He kind of blows that opportunity. And I think there's a chance that this happened. I'm not saying this for sure, but in the moment I was thinking like,
no, for sure. So yeah,
he got like mentally rattled he's like, I'm going to blow it again. Like, I'm not even going to get on the podium. And I think he started thinking so much that he came unraveled a bit.
119, 119, 122, 121, 123, 123, 123, 128. Last four.
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't know that we're going to get an answer or the real answer. You know, we might get an answer. I just don't know if we're going to get the real one. But watching him ride... He looked like
I'm just going with the. I'm not going with the mental thing. Okay. I don't know. I don't know, and you don't know,
don't
and
either.
We don't know.
No,
but
don't.
I'm going with he rode an LCQ. He had to ride extra laps. Daytona's rough. Daytona's gnarly. Daytona's also expensive.
There have been so many mental miscues in a row, right now. So many in a row. That's the only thing I'm asking about. Is like, man. If you were ever going to be inside your own head about screwing up, it would be right now because he has done it like every time he's touched a track, pretty much. Like he runs into Justin Cooper, then he runs into Cooper Webb, then he crashes in the heat race, then he goes off the track in the LCQ and almost screws up there.
Stalls it.
Yeah, it's just like, good grief. Like, this kid is so much better than he's allowing himself to be right now.
My theory is, I was just thinking it was a heat race crash, but JT, there is some evidence. We'll never know. Like you said, I don't believe this is, but there is some evidence. It's when he caught Webb. It's when he caught Webb that it all fell apart, right? Mm-hmm. Like when it was finally materializing, like, dude, I'm going to get this guy tonight. Like, this is the guy he's keyed in on. And JT, I feel like you ran this same thesis when he would get to the back of Jet in the past.
Oh, that was very much. I will go to my grave with that thesis. Yes,
it's not completely different to see him catch Webb, and you're like, oh, he's got him, for sure, and then it falls apart.
Yep.
So I don't believe that, but there is some. Since we'll never know, there is some evidence. to say it's that. I just assume he body himself and stuff hurt and he had 10 minutes in him. But we'll never know. So maybe I'm wrong and maybe you're right.
And I don't. I'm not saying you guys are wrong. I don't know. I don't know how many times we can say that. But in my experience with racing, once you're up and going and the adrenaline's going, you don't just typically fall apart and start losing 5 seconds a lap. Like, that doesn't – I've never had that happen. Like, I've been hurt. I've raced with everything broken. Once you're going, you either can or you can't. And it's actually easier later because you have adrenaline on your side.
Yeah.
Who knows? That's never happened to me. Couldn't do it at the end. Like, and he's not hurt per se. You know, think about this. When we pan to him in the middle of the show, and he's just standing around in the garage, leaning on his bike. Like, he didn't look like he was laboring. He wasn't like getting worked on on a massage table to get back out there. He was just BSing with the KTM guys. Like, he didn't look like a guy that was under a lot of duress.
Yeah, but the stress, the mental stress, right?
But okay, now we're back to the mental thing.
Yeah, but I don't know. Yeah, I don't.
Like, he did not, in every image that we looked at post-crash, he did not look like a person that was physically harmed to me.
Well, when he was staring deep into the abyss of the concrete, he certainly looked like he was.
But after that, like, I know you were just watching the show when I got here, but like, we did a whole thing on him in the garage waiting for the LCQ, and he's just like, leaned on his bike, hanging out.
Was this around when Jet was on again?
I know you're making a joke, but I don't know.
Okay, all right. Just checking. Yeah.
I don't know. I have a hard time thinking that his body just gave out. But
I don't know.
Again, I could be wrong.
That's great evidence, though, JT. Yeah, you've never tweaked an ankle or wrist, and then for 10 minutes you were fine, and then it fell apart.
No, well, okay. Yeah, I don't think it was a body part. I just think it
but
was
that's
like
what you said.
No, but like exhaustion is not the right word. Just got tired. A lot of stress, a lot of physical, mental stress, and it just was.
But if you're going with the mental side of it, then I'm on board.
Yeah,
I thought you were saying like his body was banged up and he just gave out. Like, because I don't think that's part of it.
I don't think he's not scared of passing Cooper Webb. I mean, he just caught him last week and was on him, and he's passed Cooper Webb a lot.
I don't think he's scared of passing Cooper Webb. I think there's a lot going on inside Chase's head right now. That's what I truly think.
I don't know why he just wouldn't keep going and go past those guys when he could or whatever. There's been a lot of
opportunities where you could say the same thing and he didn't.
So we had 8 points last week, and now this week he was finishing 2-4. Now it's 6 this week again. So he's lost more points. Yeah. Like, so what is he back now? 10?
It was 24 as a swing number before this weekend.
Yeah. And now
he's 10 down.
He's 10 down now. Yep. Yeah. So he was 5 down coming in, and jeez, dude, it's.
I ran my Instagram. I actually edited. I don't know if you guys saw this. Last year's Arlington Supercross and this year's, and they're like eerily the same. It's just Jet in the role of Chase and managing to win. Mm. And I don't want to address comments often on this show because we know comments are insane. But someone wrote, finally, the media should realize that they shouldn't be all over Chase and criticizing him all the time when Jet does the same stuff. But the last 2 weeks, you guys been all over Chase. And I'm like, the last 2 weeks is the reason. Jet crashed leading Arlington one time.
Yeah,
the problem is, we've seen this with Chase. Well, how many times the last 3 years? 12?
Yeah.
15?
Yeah,
where we're just like, what's up?
The rookie in the 450 class threw away one race.
Yeah. Like, this is unfortunately. And I thought it was gone. I thought it was gone. I thought it was over. I thought it was done.
Me too. Oh, I said it. I said it on my show a couple weeks. I'm like, I think he re-signs with KTM. I think he's a happy place. I think his bike works good. And here we go. Here we go. But I do think if we went back through history at the Honda years or even last year, I think these things run in streaks for him. And then he turns it around. So we'll see. But
I agree on that. I mean, he usually starts the year good, has all kinds of problems at midseason, and then last 5 or 6 rounds is killer. So maybe that's still going to happen.
And we talked about that. I think it was maybe on Insider, where the last few rounds, if Webb let him hang around, could be very dangerous because Sexton could get hot late at those tracks.
Also, how did he get that good gate pick from the LCQ? Like, he was like 3 from the box.
All I could think of was that the exit rut had to be crap.
Yeah.
It had to be a bad rut because there's no way he would have gotten there.
An 18th gate pick.
I know.
Yeah.
The exit red had to be garbage. That's the only thing.
And he had a good gatepick for the LCQ from the left.
That's what I was talking about. The LCQ.
Oh, I'm talking for the main.
Where was he at in the main?
He was three from the box left.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, I mean, it wasn't great, but it's next to Chiz, who was seventh in the heat, I think, or eighth.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's only three or four picks different.
I guess. But yeah, the LCQ thing too. Yes.
Yeah, he was on the inside.
Yeah, he was on the inside.
How'd
he was perfect.
Get there?
Right.
Because I wanted to them to talk about the booth. He's going to be on the very outside in the LCQ. Yeah. He cannot screw this up. He's got to get a good jump. And I looked at his gate and I'm like, kill that story. Like
classic.
He's got a great gate.
Classic Brooks too. He would go down there if one of us had a bad gate pick. Larry would just go down
stand
there and stand in the gate.
Yeah, I know. He was like,
and all the privateers would be like, I'm not telling that dude to move.
Well, no, because he hated all of us. Right. Like he already hated us. You'd have to fight him to get a gate pick.
Yeah. Third to fifth with two laps to go for Chase. Third and a group text of web fans building up to this thing of him winning and then Sexton coming and then Webb screws up and Chase goes backwards and Kenny wins. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I think if you're – there's so many ways to – it's all perspective. All this stuff is always perspective with racers, and they're going to tell themselves what they need to tell themselves in the moment because that's how it always goes. And talk to Coop, and he immediately spins it to, well, if you just look at it on a points night, it's good.
Yeah.
My points lead is bigger than it was
absolutely.
Saturday afternoon, right? It's just I love that aspect of it because I've been around. There's a result, good or bad, and it gets immediately spun to however's the most beneficial viewpoint.
We do it on teams, too.
Of course, everybody.
We didn't talk about Justin Cooper, by the way, fourth. The heat race was good. Main event, he was tagging with Chase. He was basically like, we're going through. We're going by Malcolm. We're going by Anderson. He was right there the whole time. Jay Coop was.
I mean, he passed Sexton back and yarded him.
Yep.
Gone.
Well, Sexton did a 128 on the last lap.
And he almost got passed for fifth.
So the whoops were super big for practice, and I was kind of watching those a little bit, and Jay Coop comes out and just starts doubling right away.
Yeah, don't even
I'm not even it. Trying, nope. man. Watch this.
Yep.
But then they were – for the night show, they got rolled and easier. But
I wouldn't recommend it, but I respect it.
So I found out this week – I don't know if it's true, but I heard from someone that would know stock motor. Obviously mapping and exhaust.
Wow.
Stock internals.
That's
– Yep. Just easier to ride, no arm pullings and anything like that. And so, look, he's gotten a couple hole shots.
I was talking to somebody that would know from the goat farm, too, and Jay Coop just at the goat farm, I'm just jumping him.
Yeah.
He doesn't blitz. They're racing around. He's just like, nah, I'll just jump him.
Yeah. Well, that's what I think I said that on my show, or maybe on this one. They're faster to jump at the farm than blitz, and Coop doesn't care because he needs to blitz.
He needs to blitz, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
he's the reps.
Right. So Jay Coop is pulling away from him, and Coop's like, I don't care. I'm blitzing.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but what happened?
They don't hand out points on Tuesdays.
What happened to the great Justin Brayton, though, Weege?
Me?
I mean, helping Jay Coop with whoops. What?
I mean, I saw Jay Coop do what Jay Coop has not done maybe ever. I mean, look at that rally late in the race. Fastest guy in the track late in the race. This is what we do.
Okay. All right. Because last week's Pulp Show was just a Justin Brayton – Love it.
Yeah, I mean, he changed the lives of Cody Shock, changed the lives of Justin Hill. Phil probably said that, I can assume so.
Yeah.
Jay Coop, he literally fits the weakness of Jay Coop, strong to the end.
Mm-hmm.
Probably would have won if we had five more laps.
Yeah, he's really good. So Sexton fifth. Malcolm won a heat. That's awesome. That was cool. Good job for Mookie.
Yep.
Sixth in the main. He was happy after the race.
Wouldn't you thought he'd be better in the main? I was like, what?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Said he just couldn't find
He's going to get in this battle, but he did not.
Yeah, I talked to him after the race. He was happy, but said that he just couldn't get going, couldn't get in the battle, couldn't figure out the track.
Yeah,
so.
I was talking to my dad about this. My dad's like, I think Malcolm could win. I'm like, yeah, you're not wrong. I've only seen one time where he looked like he believed he could win, and that was in Tampa. Like every other time you see it, yes, he's fast. Yeah, but he just doesn't have that fire when it really counts in the main event to do it. And I don't know what that is. I don't know why. I don't have any reason other than it's like the eye test. And I'm like, until I see that on a consistent basis where he's going to be that guy week in and week out, I'm going to think he's just trying to get on the podium, not be the guy that wins.
Seventh for Justin Hill. I feel like Weege, Bondo or whoever really listened to his interview on the Pulp Show this week and the broadcast dove deep into Justin Hill. I'm not saying it was.
I think it was Lee.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, Lee does listen, I think. But I feel like there was there a lot go. Of Justin Hill, like, focus or drop on. I mean, he's riding great. I mean, he deserves mm-hmm. it for sure. So.
I spoke to Matt Tedder at the airport this morning.
Oh, yeah?
I did. He came up and introduced himself to me. And I was
he
like,
did?
Oh, I know who you are, sir. Yes, I know exactly. But, I mean, I appreciate him not, like, assuming, but, yeah.
He glossed over the rap question on the show last Monday.
Yeah.
It just wasn't even.
Had I been more awake at 4:55 in the morning, I might have asked him.
Right. No, seventh place for Justin Hill, and he qualified well, and he's just Justin Hill. He's back. So the Moto Concepts year that we all talked about doesn't look so abnormal now. I think he was eighth in the points that year or something on Moto Concepts. He's riding pretty well.
He got screwed by the COVID thing. He was really coming on strong.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And then, what, did they not have bikes or something?
I don't know, but there was – I don't think he put in a lot of effort on that break.
No. No, because I think he – remember how he was fast qualifier at Dallas this year? And they're like, wait, hey, the last time he was fast qualifier was Dallas 2020. And I'm like, yeah, because he was just starting to put it together a couple weeks before the COVID break, and then it was over. And, yeah, I don't know if he rode at all before Salt Lake City. It was horrible. Once again, this is what we know he's capable of. Same story. We know he's capable of pretty much doing anything.
Yeah. Okay, Jason Anderson. Oh, boy. Whole shot to eighth, and I don't think he fell or anything. Chase punted him off the track at one point. Yeah, that wasn't very good.
I don't know. He's right there. Like, he can do it. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going on because we've seen this a couple times now.
Yeah. I was kind of wondering about him for next year, but I talked to Dan Fahey, and it sounds like they're working.
Trying to keep him?
They're talking about keeping him and we're talking to him now. So.
Yeah. I don't see an immediate option for an upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it makes sense to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Not a good Daytona for Jason. I mean, okay, should he have won? No, but can he get a top five? Yeah. Yes. Absolutely.
Like, in that position, he needs to be ahead of Justin Cooper in my mind. He needs to stay ahead of Justin Cooper.
Yeah, yeah, he ended up being
like 25 seconds back or something.
25 seconds back.
Yeah.
Savacci.
Didn't people assume Anderson goes to – I thought everybody assumed he was going to Triumph at some point.
No, I don't think that's happening. No, that was that – once Bobby Hewitt left, that was – that rumor died.
I see.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like to me the Triumph guys are going to move Jordan Smith up.
I know they really like him.
Yeah. So Jordan's going to move up. And they'll go for a big dog, quote unquote, in 27. Savacci ninth. Joey rode pretty well. He flubbed the start. He was on the inside gate, and I watched a video after the race from Nate, his mechanic, and yeah, he went and hit the gate and pulled back and then went sideways.
I'll be really honest. Past Anderson. Yeah. I have no idea what these guys did because I was so locked in on the lead.
Yeah.
Like, no clue what these guys did.
No, I was too. I told some of these guys that interviewed. I'm like, hey, man, I didn't really watch you because
I didn't,
you know.
Eat at all.
Right.
I talked to the beta guys after and asked what the places they got, but I didn't watch them once.
Barsha, I want to thank Barsha. Fantastic. Justin, thanks a lot, man. Thanks for putting Grant Harlan down, who I picked in fantasy.
Same. But Harlan had his opportunity in the LCQ.
He did.
Also.
He did. But Bam was coming through. From a first lap crash, obviously. And then in the main, he got 10th. McElrath led the heat for a little bit, got 11th. Dylan Ferrandis, I know nothing about. I don't think I watched Dylan Ferrandis one moment in qualifying in the heat.
I didn't watch any of these guys.
No, but I mean, at any point did I see Dylan Ferrandis on the track?
I did. Okay. I did see him in practice.
Like, if you asked me what was his gear, where, like, what color?
O'Neill.
I know, but I would have been like, I don't know what color he was wearing. No. Like, so 12th for Dylan. Oldenburg was further back behind Benny and then caught and passed Benny. So Beta's number one rider continues to impress with the 13th.
Are you just trying to fire up the Bloss family with that?
Yeah. Jeff probably wants to kick me in the head. Cody Shock, 14th on a 250F.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's legit. That's
a wild day for him.
Yes.
Oh, good grief.
Yeah, looped out in qualifying. Front flip also, yep. Very, very big day for Cody Shock. But yeah, it's pretty good. Pretty good job for Cody, for sure. I mean,
it was
14th on a 250F, right?
Yeah, it's great. It's cool.
Shout out to the Russian kid that club had that was going to win the futures, gone, and then got a flat.
Yeah, that was
not ideal. Nichols 15th. Benny's actually, speaking of Benny, and even though I like to make fun of Benny for being the number two rider over there, he is riding with a wrist injury, so it's kind of hurting him a little bit. Mitchell Harrison 17th. Jerry came from outside the top 10 in the LCQ.
Sure did.
To pass our Grant Harlan. So as much as it really hurts me to say this because it costs my fantasy pick the main event, good job, Jerry.
Yeah, he rode great.
Jerry rode really well.
Did you see his poster? He's like, I didn't even know what place I was in.
Yeah.
oh, wow, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chiz is not happy. Chiz was not happy. I was going to ask Chiz after the race about his last Daytona, but I'm like, Chiz, everybody knows you're just going to show up here in a pickup. Like, you're not – this isn't your last Daytona.
Chiz was 3 seconds from 12th.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. That's the best lap. I'm looking at. I take it back. Right. I don't know where he was lapped down.
Yeah, he was lapped down.
Never mind.
Starling made it in. Good job for Starling because I know he was sick, battling illness. And Moran's and Freddie Norn. Fast Freddie got it in. I think, though, Fast Freddie's team manager was more worried about the wrestling news that was going on.
Yeah, we were getting a lot of updates on wrestling because, JT, it's very, very important. Where the Arena Cross was taking place on Friday was part of a huge moment in wrestling about 30 years ago.
Oh, really? The convention center there?
Yeah. Whatever. So that was much more important to him than in Daytona.
Okay. Well, oh, and then you missed it. You forgot about the Saturday text.
Yeah.
John.
Well, I didn't know if that tied into the Friday one. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, but we got the Friday update, and then Saturday, when he should have been looking at Freddie's bike setup and Freddie's line choices, we were informed that John Cena turned heel tonight.
I saw that.
Yes.
I saw that. But The Rock made him.
You already know more than I do.
I watched the video.
JT, with the knowledge.
I watched the video.
Wow.
Yep.
But the Bash at the Beach from 30 years ago he was referencing was when Hogan turned heel. So I thought he was tying it back. But in the end, look at Freddie's result. I think this all can be blamed on Jericho.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Absolutely.
Last place.
And Jericho had a mechanic not show up Saturday morning. So maybe that had something to do with it, too. I don't know.
That sounds probably about like the Daytona I know.
Yeah. He had the mechanic just go missing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Imagine that. Still,
I could come up with a couple of guesses on where it could be fixed.
Still at Razzles.
Yeah.
But
one time, you remember that night races they had at Thunder Valley?
Yeah.
And hopefully he doesn't care that I tell the story, but Dan went hard the night before.
Like, oh, that's just also amazing. Yeah.
He was just drinking in the room, to be fair. He wasn't doing anything nefarious. But I went to bed, as I'm supposed to, and I remember seeing he came to breakfast and he hadn't slept yet. And I was like, Dan, we got practice in like 5 hours because you wait around all day for that thing. I'm like, go to bed. My bike's built.
Yeah.
I need you to sleep because you're going to have to work on my bike. It's a freaking pro national.
Yeah.
Go to freaking sleep. But that guy is like a vampire. Yeah. He doesn't even need sleep.
No. There's people that burn the candle at both ends, and then there's Dan Truman.
He's not. I tell him all the time, like, I don't even know how. Like, you're not a human.
Yeah.
You're not human.
No. All right, anything else on 450s? Daytona? Congrats to Kenny again and the Suzuki guys.
I went to – so first off, it's so tough. Like, I understand what I'm supposed to do, but I was literally laughing. Our broadcast team was like, after the 450 main event, they wanted me to go interview Sexton. And I'm like, there's no way. Like, there's no way he's going to give me an interview.
No.
I'm going to go to his truck.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Yeah.
And we need to ask. I'm like, all right, I'll do my job. And he's like, no, he's long gone.
Yeah.
Like, he's out of here.
Yeah. He's on.
And I'm like,
he's on the I-4 already.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I was saying. Like, something was very, whatever was going on with him, he was very pissed off because he was out of there.
Yeah.
Like, immediately. So I was going to bring it up because I wonder if we're ever going to get the real answer. What's happening here?
Press day, he was totally fine with talking about Dallas.
Yeah.
He was just like,
and he was in the press conference too. Like, I mean, I think somebody asked him in the press conference and he's like, no, I don't really have anything to add.
Yeah.
Which
I said to him, hey, can we talk about last week? And he's like, yeah.
Yeah.
So I tried to blame Jade.
Well, I think it needs to be said, okay, this weekend, I don't know. We don't have answers. But last weekend, I think it needs to be said that you can't always fault somebody for having the desire to win like that, you know, like it is very easy for all of us, including myself, to be armchair quarterback and say, you can't risk in that situation. You can't put the overall on the line. They're right. Everybody saying that is right. But when you don't have adrenaline coursing through your veins and you don't have this will to go past Cooper Webb and do something that no one ever does, which is pass Webb late. And I think he had a real opportunity to do that. And it's for sure, in hindsight, it was the wrong decision. But I don't think he should get buried for making that wrong decision. Because if somebody's trying to win the race, I'm always going to be a little bit – I'm going to go easier on them for being willing to take that risk. It just bit him. He's the one that's got to suffer the consequences. I just didn't hear a lot of that sentiment this week. Mm-hmm. I heard a lot of, you can't do that. And I agree. I agree. But I think there is another side to it. It's like, well, the guy wanted to freaking win. And he wanted to pass his competitor for the championship in the last moment and send a message, because I think he could have. I think there was a real chance for him to pass him in the whoops.
This sounds like the exact argument in Frank's suite. You sound like Mr. Lewis Phillips. And JB and I are like, no.
No, I get no. it. I'm not making the argument. I'm just saying someone needs
well,
to say it.
That was Lewis is saying that.
I heard a lot of the other side, and they're not wrong.
Right.
I understand all of it. I just didn't hear a lot of any defense for him, and I kind of get it. Like, I can certainly put myself in his shoes. And I've done it on a much smaller scale. I threw a race win away in Germany being an idiot, and I felt like a complete dumbass for it, but I wanted to win, and I didn't even get on the podium because I was so like, I have to win. So I don't know. There's something there.
Shout out Mitchell Harrison, 16 laps. He stayed in 17th the whole race. Never moved up, never moved down.
Wow.
Yep. Pretty hard to do at Daytona.
It is. It is.
Shout out Mitchell Harrison, looking at the lap charts. all right. Okay. Anything else 450-wise?
Nope.
Weege?
Nope.
Okay. All right. Thanks to Renthal, Maxxis, Fly Racing, Kinetic Mesh JT available now.
It is available now. Yeah.
And you guys added the BOA to it.
Very excited. Yeah. That BOA is huge. I mean, there is not another product in that price category that can even come close to Kinetic. I'm just Bennett, Kinetic Mesh, normal Kinetic.
Yeah.
It's so much better than anything close to it. And we haven't had a new graphic in mesh for 2 years, so this is pretty cool.
Can I get some mesh? I need that white and black stuff. Yeah, looks good. So thanks to the folks at Fly Racing. Use code PULPMX when you're checking out. It's light. It feels like you're wearing nothing at all. Feels like you're naked out there. Kinetic Mesh. It's amazing.
But it looks better.
Yeah, it does look better. And thanks to the folks at Renthal and Maxxis, of course. And also thank you to motorsport.com. Go through the banner on PulpMX to help us out. Aftermarket OEM parts, great prices, free shipping on everything over $79. Get out and ride. They got a weekly contest right now. I believe they gave away a set of Fly Racing gear last week. This week it's Renthal package, a grand prize of a Stark. So they have like weekly giveaways, and then the grand prize is a Stark Varg as well. If you just go to motorsport.com, you learn more about the details on that. So thanks to those guys for coming on board. Weege and Onyx Maps as well.
Yeah, Onyx Maps, over 500,000 miles of trails mapped out for side-by-sides, for dirt bikes, dual sports, adventure bikes, mountain bikes, you name it. And they're improving it all the time. You can download the maps so you have them in your phone, even if you're in a place where there aren't. There isn't cell service, and they got a lot of master classes on there that'll teach you a lot about off-roading as well, just all part of the app. So take it for a test, try it for a week, go to onxmaps.com or Onyx Off-Road in the app store. And I was once told that you could find property that friends of ours own, because it does know the lands, but I will not tell you any more than that.
Okay, fair. 250 class, we had another red flag. Jeez, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. Again, I'm not a medic. I'm not down there. I don't want to question these things, but it just seems,
I think when he has broken vertebrae near his neck, that to me, that's one of those ones where they're not going to take any chances at all.
We talking about Levi Kitchen. McAdoo doesn't race the main and now he's going to go get his knee fixed. He was going to get it fixed for outdoors, I heard, in the morning. And now I imagine that he will go under the knife now, and poor Mitch Payton and Pro Circuit Kawasaki, because now Levi's out for a while. I mean, I don't know if I'd want to put all my marbles on Seth Hamaker, but he's going to have to be Seth Hamaker and Drew Adams, everybody.
I mean, what's your team? What's their option?
No, I don't really have one.
To be fair, Hamaker's riding incredibly well.
Yeah.
I mean, outside of a food poisoning incident, he's been amazing.
That was a dirty crash. Oh, God, for Kitchen.
Oh,
jeez.
My gosh.
That's just the worst.
I mean, I don't know, injury aside, the crash, I don't know how it gets much worse.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how it could go worse than that.
I've
like,
done that. I've
over
done
the
that.
Front, and the yeah. bike just buried him.
I've done that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. yeah.
It's for sure. The worst. High
I don't think
speed.
I was going as fast as
yeah,
he was
yeah,
going.
Yeah, probably not.
But, yeah.
Oh, man. Bummer. RJ Hampshire, kinetic mesh rider, took the win. Fastest qualifier, won his heat race. Weege went from fourth to first in the main. Yeah, and he's from Florida. So pretty much a perfect night.
I just love how forthcoming RJ is. I mean, this goes back, you know, a couple years ago when he was just trashing his bike every week. But then next year, you know, to his credit, he's like, no, it's great now. When it's bad, it's bad. When it's good, it's good. He's not just an always complaining guy. He gives so much insight. To his in he's dealing with. I thought it was really interesting in the press conference. He went really deep on he knew he couldn't ride whoops going into the season. So he just said, screw it. I'm just going to make really soft suspension and try to be good in corners and I'll just jump the whoops. And then he said that actually screwed him in Tampa because he cased a jump real minor, but it was enough to bottom out
and
veer left, get into that tough block. Yeah, and just done. And I'm like, that's more analysis on setup than I maybe have ever heard a rider say after the race. And then he's like, yeah, now we had a couple weeks. We figured it out. It was better. And then we can go into the whole story about his dad and how much this meant to him. You know, his dad passed a couple months ago, and it's a race that the whole family has to go to. I just love having the character that is RJ at the races. Both, we know what he brings on the track. It's always spectacular to watch. But also just, you know, he wears the heart on the sleeve off the track, too.
Yeah.
It's really cool to have him around.
Yeah, he got in trouble from Husqvarna a few years ago with me over talking about his bike and how frustrated he was and blah, blah, blah. And
yeah
just kind of just tells you how it is. And yeah, told me the kind of same thing about the wrist blowing off in Tampa and that set him back and they fixed it a little bit. Yeah, really, really cool deal for RJ, for sure. And like you said, his dad passed away and all of that. He talked about that. He rode great. He fully deserved this win.
Yep.
He looked fantastic. He looked like, and also too, on the fantastic Weed show, talking about him being honest, I said, hey man, do you ever just try not to go RJ? Do you ever think to yourself like, like just, hey, I don't need to go RJ right now. Like I'm just going to take this third or I'm going to just settle here. And he said, yeah, no, not really.
Yeah.
So
I think you just, at some point he has had the talk with himself. He's like, this is the way I have to ride to be my best self.
Yeah.
So I am signing the waiver to be on the RJ ride.
And clearly McAdoo did the same thing. McAdoo has signed the waiver as well.
Yep.
So yeah, good job for RJ. And like he was 23 down going in. I don't know what he is now.
Less than 23.
Yes.
14.
Yeah.
14.
So yeah, it's getting exciting, you know?
He showdowns.
I mean,
he feels like he's in this thing big time.
Well, okay, I'm going to talk about Anstey a little bit here, but don't you guys feel like RJ is more of a threat than Vial and Hymus? With showdowns?
Yeah, I haven't seen enough from Hymus yet to put him in the fight. He's not 100%.
Yeah.
He's working back towards 100%. Vial's sneaky to me because he's just hanging around, and that's dangerous because that's what Vial does. We mentioned it a second ago. I think the showdowns are going to be hypercritical for how this plays out.
Also, too, RJ's best lap was almost a second better than the next one in the main. So that's another idea of how well he was riding.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, good job to RJ and the team. And Vial led for a little bit, looked really good. He was off in qualifying, I believe. I don't think he qualified very well.
10th in the second
one.
Not good.
And then, yeah, got a start.
He was the fastest in one of them. Second one, I was like, what are you doing?
What'd you make of Anstey and him in the first turn, second turn?
I think Max took a little bit too much risk there.
Yeah.
You know, like it's easy, again, we're armchair quarterbacking, to say, like, you can't push it there because most times he probably gets away with it, but unforced error probably. Like, you can't put yourself in that spot. When you get the jump and you're there and you put yourself in, if somebody's like, you just hit the brakes. Like, okay, it's fine to be third on the first lap.
Exactly, right.
No problem.
Yeah. No, you're probably right. Speaking of Anstey, last to sixth. And flipping this around, if you're Anstey, are you worried about Vial and Hymus, who are second and third? Like, not really, because you've been better than them, and you just came from last to, you know, sixth. Max was 8 seconds back of Hymus at the end of the race, you know, and he was dead last.
Max caught a big break with the red flag.
He did.
He was 28 seconds off the lead. when the red flag flew.
Okay.
And
he finished 18. Yep.
Yep. But, like, the gap, he would have never gotten the sixth.
Yep.
No way.
Yep.
And, yeah, so that helped him a lot. But that's racing.
He got hurt last week.
Yeah, he got screwed in Detroit, you know, so whatever.
What was on the start, what was Faulkner doing on the restart? Just spun? Fell over?
He was last on the first lap.
Yeah, but he fell in the first.
Oh, on the restart.
Yeah, the restart. Just fell.
Oh, I didn't see. Yeah. I knew he was last, but I did not see a replay.
That
was
odd. So, yeah, Hemeker went off the track twice in the first two laps.
That sounds about right.
Ended up getting third past Hymus. Hymus fourth. And then Max Vollant. Max Vollant got a new clutch set up. He's on a regular clutch now because they couldn't get that auto thing figured out. And then he's got a new handbrake lever as well that he likes better. So he's got to use the clutch now. He's got two levers now that work before he was on the auto clutch. But, dude, Max was fifth. JT,
you
keep talking about this handbrake in our fantasy pod. I just, like, I don't get it. Like,
what do you mean?
You're like, I don't want to pick anybody who has a handbrake.
I don't.
I know, but like he's riding well.
It's not his fault.
I know, but I don't. That reasoning is just.
I'm not picking on him because he can't feel his leg.
I know, but he's fast. He's good.
Of course.
He's been
qualifying
well.
But he also DNF'd and they were having bike problems.
Yeah,
I don't know what's going on.
That was auto clutch issues.
But wouldn't he have been running the normal clutch without the handbrake thing?
What do you mean?
Like he would have been running that exact same setup if his leg was never hurt. The other clutch thing.
No, I don't think so.
Right. So that's they're doing things to make up for this, and I didn't want any part of that with my fantasy team because I don't even know what an auto clutch is, nor had I ever heard of one. But now I know they're running one because he's got a handbrake instead of a foot brake. I don't want anything to do with any of that. That's all I'm saying. All right. It's not that he's not riding good.
Yeah, I just
none of that.
I think the proof is in the pudding.
I picked him at Detroit.
Yeah.
It's fine. Like, it's not like I won't pick him. It just makes me hesitant.
I feel like this is the thing about handbrakes. You're against handbrakes.
Have you ever seen somebody race Supercross with a handbrake instead of a foot brake?
Oh, he's making it work, though.
No argument.
Good job for Maximus Vollant, though. Yep. Good job. Fifth top five, and he was really strong. He was getting caught by Anstey and then settled it and kept the gap the same or pulled a little bit, and then he passed Bennick and Thrasher on the restart, too. So Max Vollant going by the star guys and then holding off Max, who has been the fastest guy. So good job for Max Vollant.
Oh, impressive.
Yeah. And Anstey sixth, Bennick seven. Thrasher crashed, I think, at some point.
All I wanted Bennick to do was stay upright.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
I did not want him to hit his head.
Right. Colin Park ninth.
No, tenth.
No,
Thrasher ninth. Was ninth.
No, Thrasher ninth because eight. Mumphy got penalized, it says here.
Oh, really?
It says Ryder 60 penalized four positions for off-track advantage during start of race.
They didn't penalize J-Law.
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't penalize J-Law.
Okay.
AMA, inconsistent AMA. So, yeah.
J-Law sells tickets, Mumphy doesn't.
Yeah, exactly. They look the other way, sad. Hardy, dude. Hardy's solid.
Hardy is not solid.
Bro.
Hardy is fast, and he's very talented.
Did you guys see that?
I cannot say he's solid.
Did you see the thing I sent you?
I saw it live. I watched it live.
So Hardy was pulling a wheelie in front of the fans, Weej, on the grandstand by the finish, just pulling a wheelie and, like, looking over at the crowd. And then
not looking where he's going.
And then not looking where he's going, and then just went right into the side of the finish and fell down.
No!
Yes.
Oh, yeah. It's in your DMs.
When?
I don't know.
Last lap of qualifying practice. He was the last one on the track.
Like when he's... Oh, okay.
He was the last one. So the crowd's going bonkers, and he just pulls this epic wheelie, and the crowd's going crazy, and he's looking at the crowd while he's wheeling,
and
hits a tough block, then smashes into the side of the finish line
the
and
structure,
crashes,
the finish line
and
structure.
And then the crowd goes even more bonkers.
Well, God, I just watched it.
Yep.
Oh,
Hardy, dude.
I remember watching it live and go, yep, that's Hardy.
Yeah, there we go.
This is right on brand.
Jump in the wall, though. Right away.
All I argued was solid. That's all I'm arguing.
Hardy's
fast.
Hardy's having a good season. Hardy's having a good year.
I'm just pushing back against solid.
Fantastic. Yeah. Hardy Munoz.
I was pumped that Hardy gets a good start, and I'm like, man, the world, like, we know Hardy, and people listen to this show. There's insiders that know Hardy. I don't know how many fans know of Hardy. And I'm just like, please, Hardy, when everybody's watching you, all the eyes are on you, give us some Hardy. And he did.
Man, he was going for it.
I'm like, you think he's going to jump something that no one else is going to jump? And he jumped the wall, yep, first guy, yep, in that heat. Not the first guy ever, but in the heat. And I'm like, there you go.
I was just waiting for him to throw it away in the heat. Like, throw away the qualifying position. Because he was full send. Full send. But
no, he's solid, dude. He's solid.
Yeah.
I might have said this last week on the show, but I did get a report from the goat farm. Hold on.
Goat farm or sandbox?
Sorry, my bad. I got a report. I said this was last week. I said Hardy was so solid this weekend. The report was he crashed 3 times in the whoops last week and just kept getting up and hitting them faster. And then this guy says Hardy needs a weekly vlog. It would be content never seen by the moto industry. So, Hardy the sandbox is just as exciting, everybody. So 10th for Hardy, 11th for Mumford, 12th Henry Miller. Jack Chambers won the LCQ.
Mm-hmm. Job Zacco.
And then Chandler Baker, Isaiah Clark, arena cross guy. Faulkner 17th. Faulkner,
he looked better.
You think?
Yeah, he was in the mix at one point. Like he looked better. He had looked awful before that.
Yeah,
he had looked awful before that. Yeah. So this was better. I'm not saying he's 13 win Austin Faulkner.
Yeah,
but this was at least better.
I think he was 7 or 8 on the restart. Went down in the first turn, slipped and went down, and then crashed one lap later in the sand and was dead last. Yeah. And ended up getting 17.
I'm not saying the race was good. I'm just saying I needed to see anything that resembled the guy I've seen win races.
He took the Tech Air, Alpine Star Tech Air off because it didn't make him look good,
oh, really?
I guess, or something.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I heard you. I think you told me that, but yeah. I didn't know.
Yeah. Chase Marquez was a Dirt Bike Depot pickup, Weege.
Oh.
Yep. They are.
Breaking news.
They're adding riders there.
Breaking news.
Michael Hicks rode well. Michael Hicks needs to get in better shape. I've said that for a while. He's very talented. I feel like Michael Hicks gets really tired out there.
Mm-hmm.
He may have crashed this week. I'm not exactly sure, but Hicks, yeah, he's a really good rider. Linville dislocated his finger, so he DNF'd, but he said he should be good for Indy.
Dirt Bike Depot?
Yep, Dirt Bike Depot. And then, Kitchen 21st and McAdoo 22nd, and you guys had the broadcast of Mitch when Levi went down. That just happened to be.
I saw Mitch on the plane this morning. I didn't even know what to say. I just shook my head, and I think we just both knew. Like, it's just, what are you even going to say?
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah.
What are the odds?
Brutal.
Big weekend for me. And I had the GOAT on Friday talking about how happy he is that I built this empire podcasting and I'm doing a really good job and everything. And then Mitch started going in on Saturday on the media. And not happy with the media in the sport for the most part, but good with me because I've lived it, I've done it, and he said, you can say whatever you want because you've been there. But he goes, there's too many guys who have never come to the races and never say anything, and I don't know who these guys are. So Mitch was a little angry at the media.
There is some of that.
There is, yeah. Yeah, I was agreeing with him and then disagreeing with him at other points too. But, Mitch was saying I was fine. So big weekend for me. And then Frank Sweet. I mean, does it get any better?
I think on Mitch's point, the only time I ever get frustrated is when people who really haven't been around it go super editorial.
Mm-hmm.
That I get frustrated with at times. But if you're just being a reporter, then I kind of don't care.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right. Like, there's, to me, there's a difference.
Yeah, there is a difference.
You're going to go hard on an opinion when you truly have no idea.
Yeah.
That bums me out sometimes.
There is. Or if you're not even at the races to talk to the people that you are talking about.
Well, that's
about.
What I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
I don't care if they've raced or not.
Yeah.
But you talk to people, you have a relationship with them, you have some sort of insight.
Yeah.
Fine.
Right. So, all right. That's the 250 class. I still like Ansi to win this thing. I showdowns are going to be so huge and could swing every which way for Deegs and Max, you know, the points leaders right now for sure. But
I mean,
I
like Max because he's riding super well.
Mm-hmm.
He looks polished. The first turn thing was weird.
Yeah.
And he has the points advantage, you know, like it's a head start.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think it's going to get crazy with the showdowns. I do.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see some pretty wild swings.
Yeah. There's 3 of them, right?
That's what Weege said. I don't know.
Yeah.
Weege I know is... Indy, for sure.
Yeah.
I know Salt Lake, for sure.
There's three.
There's another one somewhere?
Yeah.
There is another one now. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, I agree. Like, it's a little fool's gold to say what's going to happen because of these showdowns, but I look at Vial and Hymus, and I don't even look at them as, like, being on the same level as Max right now. Like, I would put Kitchen on that. If Kitchen had done anything this weekend and not crashed out, I'd be like, oh, boy, we got Levi. Yeah, RJ, but he's so far back. Like, he's
14. One showdown race can change a lot.
I mean, we did have Levi and McAdoo take each other out at Nashville last year. So, speaking of Mitch Payton and Pro Circuit. So, yeah, anything can happen. Do you guys think the East or West is faster?
Going into the East was faster. Now, it's like a triage unit.
Yeah.
So, it's probably same.
Don't you feel like RJ and Max are the fastest two left in East, but don't you feel like Deegs, Davies, and even maybe Juju are as good or better?
Than
same
those
level?
Two?
Yeah.
I think it's very similar now.
Yeah.
The East was better
early
because they had more depth.
Right.
But I don't think – like, I mean, think about last year, where they were. I think they were all pretty close.
Weege, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm with JT. Losing McAdoo and Kitchen, for example, is big. And then Hymus isn't ready, as ready as he could be. So, yeah, I don't know if I can say that anymore. There was definitely a time where I'm like, hey, we're all amazed by Juju and Davies, but is it just right circumstances where Deegs isn't quite where he should be and there's no one else? But I don't think I can think that anymore. I don't think I can. I mean, they might be just as good.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, anything else? Oh, by the way, shout out to Frank again for helping me out, but also shout out to Frank for investing a ton of money into these structures to keep the fans back from running onto the track. And they didn't. They listened. It actually worked. People didn't jump the barriers. They were harder to jump, harder to push aside. And we didn't have any Anderson-Plessinger incidents with fans this year. So it worked out.
It did work out. It was anarchy, though. It looked like like some sort of zombie apocalypse.
I was in
movie.
There. I was in that zombie apocalypse.
Crossing.
Yeah, I was crossing.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was. I mean, they were all. They didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
But man,
right.
It was crazy. Like, I hope there's like a video that somebody could like make like a zombie.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Movie out of
right.
Like edit it somehow.
Yeah.
It was wild.
But it was better. Weege. They all waited, and so yeah, and the barriers were better.
The barriers were a lot better. Yeah. They were actually like pretty quality.
Yeah. Cost my dear friend Frank a lot of money. I heard.
Sure did.
Yeah.
Oh.
To rent those.
They look nice, though.
Did Kenny not do a burnout, by the way? You could do a burnout. I saw RJ do one, and Lennon Gordon did one.
Mm-hmm. I don't think he did.
Yeah. I was like, what? Did he forget? Was he so overwhelmed that he forgot?
Nobody needs to see a burnout anyways. It doesn't matter.
Oh, here we go.
it doesn't matter. No, I mean, look, I honestly don't care for a short little burnout's fine. I'd never – that's not my issues with burnouts.
I'm still mad at that guy for ripping the goggles off Jet's head last year.
Oh, yeah.
That was such a jerk move.
Yeah.
Not pumped on that.
Right. Maybe that's why Kenny didn't do it. Maybe he was scared. All right. We're on to Indy. Weege, anything else? You are Lurch this weekend?
Yeah. And we have a live show. First of all, we need to mention that.
Yep.
We have a live show.
Friday night.
Irvine Theater.
Been doing this in Indy for a couple of years now. Mm-hmm. Same place.
Yep.
I think it's Irving, right?
Doors open.
Irving, sure.
Yeah.
Irving Theater, 6:30, doors open. We start at 7:30, right?
Yep.
Tickets. I'll be sure to be there no later than 7:20.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks for and you won't put in any prep work at all.
I will be riding with Weege again.
Yeah. So Filthy Phil will be our guest. Filthy Phil will be
Stocking.
Our guest. Yes.
Stocking.
Yep.
I believe Justin Brayton has fairly well confirmed he can do it as well.
Yeah, that should be fun.
If you've never been to one of these, come hang out. It's very casual. There's a lot of bench racing. You get to ask questions. It's good times.
Just to give you folks a sample, last year at this indie show, Davey Coombs and David Luongo come wandering in,
man.
And then walk on stage and just say, yeah, any fans got questions for us?
Yeah, unbelievable. You guys, what do you want to ask about?
Yeah,
I'm like, holy crap. Like,
insane, dude.
It's unbelievable.
And the Vegas one, we got an insight into Sexton's practice starts with Phil.
I cannot believe David Luongo went to that show. I forgot about that.
Dan.
Unbelievable.
Good job, guys, too, getting Tomac and Jet on the show. Good job on that. We need to hear from Jet again.
Why do they have to have Tomac on, man? Why do they have to have Tomac on?
Nobody wanted to hear from Tomac.
I didn't know what Jet was up to, so that was informative. I wasn't sure.
It's calling the 250 main next week, so tune in.
Yep, I heard.
You wouldn't want his perspective on the 250 main event?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Wow.
The last time he was in the booth, he skewered Thrasher for no reason.
I think that is a really unpopular take. That's crazy to me.
Can't believe they. Obviously, I wasn't part of the broadcast this week, but I'm going to ask Bondo tomorrow, JT. They had Tomac live on Zoom before the 450 main.
I know.
Like,
I had full
faith this wasn't going to go.
No. We had him on like off air like 12 times testing this.
I thought it was pre-taped until he said, "Yeah, Chase went down there," or whatever, like whatever he said.
We probably went to him. Okay, 12 is not, but like four times probably at commercial breaks to check. Hey, it was all set up. They tested it, back tested it. I'm not gonna say it was foolproof, but they did a lot of work to make sure it was gonna
happen.
Good
job, guys. I mean, Tomac was on the swap pod. He was on Pony Pod, but yeah, I mean, let's get him on.
Terrible criticism.
That one, I'm kidding.
I just can't believe they took that risk, because we did the Zoom with Prado last week, and I don't know if you know this, Steve, but we had Jet on Zoom the week before.
Yeah.
And it probably took 20 total minutes to be like fully dialed.
Right.
And I'm like, they didn't have 20.
Yeah.
Like, have wedged this into the 4 minutes before.
No, there was a lot. To your point, the 20 minutes is probably, I would take the over on prep time. It was just no one would have ever known.
Yeah, I was definitely thought it was pre-taped until he mentioned Chase crashing. And I was like, shit.
Levi, I think. Or, the heat race.
Yeah.
That's right. And I was like, what? It's like holding up a copy of today's newspaper. You're like, wait, this is current.
Yeah, Tomac's a busy media guy. It's been cool. Usually he goes into a shell, but he did the swap pod and did Pony Pod, and he was on the broadcast.
He's probably bored.
You know? Yeah, maybe. But with Eli, you never quite, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did Darkside just reach out to Hardy? How did that come about?
Yamaha.
Well, there's your answer then.
What?
Well, he probably would just go into a dark hole, but Yamaha said you can't.
Oh, dark side hole?
You don't think he would tell Yamaha to pound sand?
So that's the difference. Maybe Cowley didn't ask, but
anyway,
it's not like Darkside just said, "Hey, Eli, man.
Yeah,
what's up?
Yeah.
Okay."
All right. So thanks again to Fly Racing for the Daytona review. Good race. Congrats to Kenny again. I think I've said that 14 times, but it's really cool to see him win. The season's got another new winner as well. So, it's awesome. Cooper Webb's got a 10-point lead. And I said this going into Daytona. I'll say it again. Chase Sexton's really got to make this. He's really got to get this ship turned around here.
I think that's part of the problem. He knows that. He knows that too much.
He's got to turn this thing around. I don't want to do another I don't know, man segment.
If it goes poorly again, and then we have to go to a weekend off.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to do the I don't know segment tomorrow, and I think Chase could be part of it.
It probably should be.
Yeah.
You know what? And this is the last thing I'll say about it. No one would ever talk about this or say these things or wonder if he wasn't so good. You know, like
his excellence
creates – the other narrative, you know, and that gets lost in it sometimes. It feels like we're very critical of him, but it's only because of what he's capable of.
Yeah. Oh, also, Weege, before we go, last thing, your mom's story on Pulp last week was also a huge topic in the pits and with people. And if you would have been there, you would have had to, because I had to explain it or talk about it 10 times to people, 15 times, where people were like, dude, either spectators or like industry people, you know? So. Yeah, I don't know.
This is how I feel. Like, this must be a team. They have road games, and they're like, if we just get to game three, we're back home. The whole weekend, I just had to be like, but I will be there at Indy. I'll be there. I just got to get through one more week, and I will be back at the races. I feel like I haven't been to the races in months. I missed one.
You're going to get a lot of questions about your mom, I think.
Yes. I mean, Pulp YouTube channel and watch the clip. It's great, and I now know for sure I don't have to worry about my mom being mad about me airing this, because there is no chance she's catching this on YouTube. No chance. No way.
Oh, man. Yeah, I had to talk about it this weekend with a bunch of people. Like, one guy's like, was that real? Did you guys – was that a bit? Was that real? I'm like, no, man. It was real. Like, it was real.
the raw emotions, just Cliff's Notes, my mom got scammed out of $3,700 by scammers. And as our buddy Randy Richardson said, the amount of red flags, there was like more red flags there than the 250 class this year. There were so many red flags.
Watch it on the YouTube channel.
Amazing.
Okay, again, thank you to Fly and Renthal, Maxis, motorsport.com as well. Weej, JT, thanks, guys.
See ya.
See ya.
This has been the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxis Tires, Renthal, Motorsport.com, and Kuba Links on RacerXOnline.com. Thanks for listening and supporting our partners.